Hi, I'm Karen Kendall. I lost my husband in May of 2023, and I heard about the podcast through Michelle when I took her grief recovery method. And one of the things that I just love about this podcast is it gave me an outlet for basically being around people who understood what I was going through. I'm 46. And the only other widows I knew were people in their 70s and 80s. So it didn't feel like I had somebody to connect to. So when I was able to listen to that, it gave me something to feel like other people understood. There were also a lot of guests that would say things that I was feeling and I didn't feel so out of it or crazy, what you might say. I really appreciate Michelle and Mark for all that they do, and they've inspired me to try to start something locally. So thank you, and I appreciate you.
Hey, welcome to the best podcast ever. This is your host, Mark Massaro. Wait, the podcast is Widow Too Soon, and
thanks.
I'm here with my friend and co-host,
Michelle Bader Eversole.
There you go. All right. So you got it.
I know how to say my name. So it was funny when I was editing the last one, Joel was laughing how I couldn't say my last name, but I obviously can.
Well, you've been practicing and it shows.
I've been practicing every day.
So I wanted to give you a chance to redeem yourself. See that, Joel? Yes. She knows your last name. That's awesome. So what's going on with you?
So something really cool. If you're watching on video, I got these things. They look like hearing aids, but they're called tinnitus maskers. I had to take it off out to put the headphones in right now, but I just got them last night and they play like white noise in your ear just constantly. You can barely hear it. And what it does is drowns out the ringing. And the hope is, I have a call tomorrow to like get it set up officially, is that within a couple months, most people can't hear the ringing at all because you're just so used to that white noise. It like retrains your brain. So I'm super excited about that. I mean, I did pray hoping that God would just heal it, but for some reason that's not happening. So I am figuring out how to live with it. So that's been something really cool. So last week I shared that Haley got her scholarship. And then a couple days ago, she got her official acceptance letter. So that's really, really exciting. And
that's amazing.
I wanted to share this. I shared it on our Widowed Too Soon Facebook page, but there's actually scholarships for people who have lost a parent. I found it on another widow's page and it was super helpful. So last night I'm like, the deadline's February 1st. You gotta be working. She does this whole thing. And then she goes, this is for people whose parents died as a firefighter. And I was like, oops. Well, it was good practice.
Oh man.
I'm like, I should have read that a little more careful, but she wrote this great essay. I'm like, you'll be able to use that for another one. But there is another really great one where, and it's up to $10,000 a year, where you just share a video or an essay of like how the death of your parent impacted your life and then what you want to do with your future. So I think she has a pretty good chance at that one. So we've been working on all kinds of scholarships. So just know if you're listening to this and you have kids that are coming into college, just look it up and there are, you can find scholarships.
That's cool.
With a deceased parent. Yeah. So we've been working on that. Let's see what else. We have been looking for a new church. So we've kind of been in between churches for a while and we went, like, we thought we were settled and then Peyton found like a youth group he wanted to go to. And so we tried the church and 3 out of 4 of us loved it. That's the problem, trying to get everybody to love it. It was very different. Like, it's very like people dancing and, you know, I loved it though. It was really like charismatic and just let the spirit move. And there's just one thing, and I'm sure a lot of us on here can agree. And Joel's like, that's not what the pastor meant. It wasn't the pastor. It was a guest. And he was talking about tithing. And like Luke was like the most faithful tither. So what he said next really rubbed me wrong. He was like, so there was this guy who tithed all the time and he had cancer and then God healed him. So if you tithe, you'll be healed. And I'm like, no, like that's not how it works. Like your healing is not up to what you do. And I was like, no, I don't think that's what he meant. But I was like, okay, I'll go back and hear the real pastor. But if the real pastor preaches like that, I can't deal with that. Like I can't stand, as we all have experience with like cancer and all of this, like all these things, you know, a lot of our listeners, when someone is like, you would have been like, the person would be healed if they did this, you know, all that stuff. And if so, anyways, but
I got a letter in the mail and had it said to me live that if I just had more faith, Lacey would be healed.
Horrible.
I was like, wow, you like went out of your way to like send me that letter.
I can't stand that. But anyways, the visit to the church was good. I wanted to talk about our new Widow Too Soon community page. So we had tried earlier to switch over to this other app and it wasn't working. So we just created a private group and it's been working really well. I love it because people are interacting more. We even did a poll, which I wanted to share those results, where we just asked like, what was one of the hardest things about being widowed? And 51% said doing life alone, which I can totally relate to that before Joel, what that was like. So it's a great place. If you haven't joined our private community, there is a link below. We have chats going on in there, a lot more interaction. And so that's been fun to have that as a place to go. So what else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
I think there might have been something like an email or something that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. I was going to look at that in a second. But I was going to say, no, I just forgot it again. Okay. Going back, this kind of connects with that. So I'm kind of all over the place today, but I made notes. So they're all in different order. I finished, it was actually the first chapter I wrote in like 3 years from my book, and I posted a little bit about it, and some people really didn't agree with it. I was talking about, let me just read it. Let me go ahead and read it to you. I should have this up in front of me, but you know, this is live and this is what we do. Okay. So I was talking about, the chapter was called Let the Tears Flow Freely. And I said, tears are our friends. The more we embrace the hurt and pain, the more quickly we will heal. I often describe grief like that old song, Going on a Bear Hunt. When approaching an obstacle, the song says, can't go under it, can't go over it, can't go around it, got to go through it. That's exactly like grief. Unfortunately, there's no way around it. We must push through the pain and agony and ugliness we call grief in order to eventually heal. That's what I believe. I believe we can heal. I believe God can heal.
I believe that too.
And I feel bad for this person who said this. I love this, but I have to disagree with the parts that say the more quickly we heal and in order to heal, because for me, it's been 3 years, 2 months and 26 days, and there's no healing. The grief never ends. And I said, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying when we stuff the grief and don't allow ourselves to feel it, we prolong the grieving process. I also believe we can heal from grief. And she said, no, I cry and grieve every day. I still cry and grieve so hard every day. Nothing gets better with time. I'm so lost in living in a fog. My heart is so shattered. He will always be in my heart and life. And that just makes me so sad. And I feel the deep pain that you're feeling if you're listening to this. But just know, like, God can heal you. You do not have to stay in this place forever. So anyways, I just wanted to share that and hopefully give hope to people.
Yeah, that's hard.
Right?
Yeah, that's obviously a heavy heart.
Yeah, you don't have to stay in that place forever. One more thing, and then we'll get to how are you. I just lost it again. Like, I'm all over the place. Oh, thank you for all the people who have sent in voice messages. I think we have 5. And so we're going to start probably you've already heard one, because we're going to put one on this episode of people telling us things about what they love about Widowed Too Soon. And if you'd like to do that, that is in the comments. So enough about me. How are you? Except for I was going to read this email live.
Yeah.
And see, I was just like, I got this email from a publisher. Wait, it's going to be a rejection live. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much for informing me. Wait, let me see. Thank you so much for reaching out. I read through your site and you've formed a beautiful ministry through your incredible hardship. We have a forthcoming book with one of our current authors with a very similar topic or approach. Because of that, I'll have to pass, but I want to encourage you to continue pursuing the publishing path. There's certainly a need for your message in the Christian community. Blessings. So.
Oh, well, sorry
for the
rejection.
That was Harvest House. That's Harvest House. That's my dream. Like my dream publisher, like they in Eugene, Oregon, they're like 2 hours away. That's my dream publisher. But I'm glad.
Well, just tell them to get rid of that other person.
Right. Anyways. Okay. Enough about me. Like I just talked for a whole bunch of minutes about me. What's up in Mark land? Just telling you what you say. Nothing.
No,
literally
nothing. No, I've just been working a lot. I don't really have anything to report since the last time, recorded. I'm trying to, but I can't think of anything. But I do have something super exciting coming up. So Tina's coming for a visit, and for Valentine's Day, I just booked us tickets for the Tennessee steam. What is it called? The boats with the big
steam rollers. Rollers.
The river. Ships. It's like a it's a river boat, but it's like a paddle, steam not a paddle ship. Boat. I can't believe I can't think of what it's called right now. It has the huge wheel on the back.
Steamboat?
Steamboat, whatever it is. So it's one of only four in the United States. It's
Sternwheelers. It's a sternwheeler. Is that
just keep going.
Oh, okay. Anyways.
No, anyways, it's something like that. I can't think of the name of it right now. But yeah, I think it's Steamboat something, but it's got the huge paddles on the back of it. But yeah, I guess there's only four in the United States that are original.
Nice.
And
fun.
So it's going to go on the Tennessee River, and it's like a really nice dinner all set up for like Valentine's Day. And so I'm super excited about that. That should be fun. Got a babysitter. So this will be our only our second time hanging out while having a babysitter.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. So there's always kids, always.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But hey, yes, that'll be cool.
Can I share it and then we can go back to you? But this is kind of a big deal. It was Peyton's 16th birthday.
And,
which is crazy. My baby's 16 now.
Can you hear that?
I hear a little bit of noise.
Okay.
But not much. It's all good.
My dog's like choking or something.
So this is a big deal. Yeah, his 16th birthday. And all he wanted was like some class about YouTube. So I bought him that because, you know, he's a big YouTuber. And, but what I gave him, I just posted this in the community. I did this for all my kids. I think it's a great idea. On their birthdays, for all of them on their last birthday, I went through Luke's Facebook and I got like a post he did about them, like saying something about them. And I found one that he did that was really cute. And I printed it for, Peyton, had it put in a frame.
Oh, nice.
He
That's
really
cool.
liked that. Yeah. So it's an idea anybody can do. And then I had a bunch of Luke's Bibles. And so I gave, and I put like little sticky notes on all the places it was highlighted and gave it to Peyton. And he seemed really excited because he has this kind of like renewed faith right now. And he's like really excited about God. And
That's
he was
great.
Like super excited to get this Bible that his dad had used and highlighted. And
it was
special. And so I like to, on their birthdays, try to find something that like is from Luke. Not that I have a lot more things to give them. Oh, he also wanted a pocket knife, which he's been asking me for years. He's like, is 16 old enough? Can I have one of daddy's knives? Like, okay. You know, and then Haley's like, well, I don't have one yet. I'm like, you'll get one. Anyway, so that was really cool.
That's not a knife.
Is that from something?
Crocodile Dundee.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen that for real. Okay. I mean, I know what it is. Anyways, I didn't want to forget to talk about his birthday because I
Totally.
He's 16, so which is crazy because he was 12 when Luke died. And so Yeah, nuts that he never saw him past his 12th birthday. I mean, he was like 12 and a half. But anyways, all right, back to you. I won't interrupt you again.
No, it's fine. honestly, that's about it. We're really excited for this date night. And
yeah, that'll be fun.
You know, I'm just working. Working a lot, fixing cars, and that's cool. I actually I love it when I get to do something new. It's kind of a love-hate thing because it's always like it takes me way longer than it would had I have done it before. But there was this job I did. There's a certain car that I replaced an alternator on. And the last time I did it, very similar, it was actually the exact same car. It was very, very difficult. It was really hard to get to was the point. And so I had to ask for a lot of help. Just cause I was like, how in the heck do I get in here? You have to like take all this stuff apart, you know? Anyways, this time I was able to do it by myself. So that's kind of the cool. That's why I like doing new projects because I get to learn from it. And so next time I can do it by myself and it just helps me feel like I'm, gaining a lot of experience. And, so anyways, there's not much to report. It's just, you know, kids sick and, you know, had to go leave work early and blah, blah, blah. So nothing too eventful. So yeah, we can just get started on today's episode.
All right. Well, I'm super excited because we have an amazing guest who's one of my good friends and I've gotten to know her. It feels like we met in person, but we haven't actually. So I have with me Cheryl Smith, and Cheryl and I met I want to say like a year ago, like I think it was last January when we started doing some grief work together. And I have seen such a huge change in her, just even the way that she carries herself. Like she was so sad and depressed when I first met her, and now she's full of joy, giving back to widows, helping other people. And I just wanted you guys to get to meet her and be inspired by her. So how are you today, Cheryl?
I really don't have a whole lot to report. Just life has been keeping me busy, and I did go get a haircut today. So
exciting. It's cute. I like it. It's very cute.
So, yeah, it made me feel pretty, so I put on makeup.
Perfect.
Then my son says, "Mom, you actually are prettier without your makeup. You look more tired with your makeup on."
Oh, our kids tell us the funniest things. So could you tell us your story? Like, let's start with how you met Shannon and just about your life with him.
So 2019 was a really hard year. In a matter of months, we had, without telling the whole story, the gist of it is my youngest brother became estranged from the family and was really taken out of our hands. A month later, my then husband, who had been pretty abusive, did some things that resulted in me having to leave, and cops were involved. It was a very dramatic exit. Mm-hmm. And so I moved in with my parents. And I had been hearing Shannon's name. I'd been hearing his name from my parents for a few years because they went to church with him, but I had never had the chance to meet him. Mm-hmm. Then about 2 months after moving in with my parents, my dad was diagnosed with glioblastoma, brain cancer. And Shannon was on their steps, on their front porch, talking to my mom and just asking about my dad and how he was doing. He actually asked, the next day my dad was having surgery to remove the tumor, and he asked my mom if he could come to the hospital with us. And mom said, "Of course, you know, you're absolutely welcome to come with us." And he kind of made a mark on me, even though like we hadn't started talking yet. He was at the church parking lot across from my parents' house at 4:30 in the morning, waiting for us to leave so that he could follow us down. So when he showed up, when he was there at my parents' house that day, my mom kept insisting that I give him my phone number so I could keep him, you know, updated as to how my dad was doing. And my ex-husband was really very clear that you don't look a man in the eyes when you're talking to them. It means that you're sending a message that you don't necessarily want to be sending. So coming fresh off the separation, and I wasn't in my divorce yet, I sure didn't want to be sending this message. And I remember I just kept looking at the ground anytime he would talk to me or ask me a question or anything, and argued with my mom for a bit about giving him my phone number. And she's like, "Oh, you're the family caretaker. You know, everyone's going to be reaching out to you." So I finally agreed. And what's funny to me is the whole time I was not looking at him, trying to like not give any signals, not because I wasn't attracted to him. I thought he was very attractive, but I just didn't want to send that message. Looking at the ground and not making eye contact with him, I'm thinking I'm not giving the wrong impression. And he's thinking, "Oh, she really likes me." So it was just kind of funny. And so we started dating about 3 days after that day. He text messaged me, and then he called me, and then he called me, like he hung up and called me so fast. I remember I didn't even put my hand down from the first phone call. And he just started talking, and I honestly don't remember what he said, because I thought, "Oh, you've embarrassed yourself. You've thrown yourself at this guy." Now, mind you, I hadn't mm-hmm. done anything, but in my head, I had given some secret signal that said, you know, I was after him, and I was trying to just save my face from being embarrassed. And, so I have no idea what he said. All I really remember about that phone call is him saying, "Do you know what I'm trying to say?" And I said, "Oh yeah, you're just worried I'm developing feelings for you and you don't want me to have them." And he goes, "No, I want you to have them." And then I turned into a 12-year-old. I was just, and that's all I could say. That Friday he worked over the road. So that Friday he came home, he picked me up. We went riding around. And we were really just inseparable. Even while he was working over the road, my dad was a police officer, and, he really had his bluff in on his kids. So I never attempted sneaking out of the house or like that. I knew better. And I was 39 years old the first time I ever snuck out of my parents' house to sneak into their backyard. He had come home during the weekends, and we'd sneak into the backyard and put a little pallet down and just lay there under the stars talking, you know? And I convinced my mom, I'm a teacher, and I convinced my mom that I had like monthly professional development meetings I had to go to in Kansas City. And so I'd leave school at 3, I'd get to Kansas City at 7, and then turn around and leave Kansas City at like 3 in the morning to get back to school by 7 the next morning. Oh, wow. And then the next week he would drive from Kansas City, come spend a few hours with me, and then turn around and go back. We just really became inseparable. And coming from the marriage that I had to where I was constantly feeling like I had to do things to prove my worth or value to a man who loved me just because I was me was, I still can't believe it. I had such a good relationship. I didn't know that I didn't know life could be so good. So we kind of went on like that. And then 2020 hit, and that was COVID. And so his job, everything shut down. So he was home a lot. And we did pretty well. I was, you know, schools were shut down. He was shut down. We were able to spend a lot of time together, with him living right around the corner from my mom. My dad had passed away a few weeks after his diagnosis. So we were local to take care of my mom. Then he got COVID in 2021, and, it didn't really affect him too much. He worked right through it, and he had picked up a side job working on somebody's shed. So he was isolated working by himself, but picking up some grocery money, you know. And we found out that summer he was big and deficient. And that summer he had left some buddies from picking up some, they were catching bait fish and like little minnows and things. And he said, I got to go home. I'm not feeling good. And I knew something was big then whenever he came home from fishing, because he just didn't do that. I'd like to say that that's how I snagged him, because one of the first, the beginning of our relationship, he, when my dad passed away, we did big, we're country people. We had fish fries all the time growing up. And he had went out and caught a bunch of fish to do this fish fry memorial service for my dad. And I was down here at his house, and he was also doing like macaroni salad inside and trying to clean these fish outside. I had never cleaned a fish in my life, but I'm like, oh, I can take this over. Just show me how. And he showed me how on a fish, and I took over and I cleaned like the 20 fish. And he was so impressed that this girl was pulling out fish guts and doing all that gross stuff.
It is gross. It's crazy.
So that was the one and only time I've ever cleaned fish. I'm like, I got the man now. I don't have to do it no more. it was a big deal that he came home from fishing, and I just kind of kept an eye on him. Later that night, he started just talking weird. Like, you could tell what he was saying made sense to him, but it wasn't making sense to me. And the topics in his head were like meshing and relating to each other, but I really wasn't understanding how he was getting from point A to point B. So the next day we found it wasn't right. Like, something wasn't right. So we ended up took him to urgent care, actually. And, I said, listen, he's really weak. His oxygen, his sister checked his oxygen. It was like 60-something% when we left the house. And I said, I don't think he could walk in here. Do you have a wheelchair? So they actually came out to our car and took his oxygen, and it was very low, and they never even let him out of the car. They just called the ambulance right there and had him transferred. And through a series of tests, he was in the hospital for a week, and through a series of tests, we found out that his heart was functioning at 15%. So over the next year, we had a few more scares, but he had some like surgeries. He had a couple stents put in his heart. He was on lots of different medications designed to strengthen his heart and take care of issues that had just been diagnosed through this whole process. And a year later, his heart was functioning at about 60%, between 50 and 60. And the doctor had said a normal person, just us sitting right here, we're functioning between 60 and 70. So we were like, this is awesome. So about 12 days before he passed away, I had talked to somebody in church, and I had received a letter from my younger brother, and it was so encouraging. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I've been feeling for a while that like God is getting ready to level me up. When my husband didn't become saved until he was in his late 40s, he passed away when he was 52. So, but for him, it was like a light switch. Like it just, he got it and he got it immediately. I was baptized when I was like 13 years old, and I've been like a pressure cooker or a crock pot. Just, it's just getting lukewarm, and you know, like it's just been building my whole life. And I told her, I said, if you think of Christianity as like a video game, like when you first start out, you know, you believe, but you're not good on scripture. You don't know the stories. You can't really back it up with why you believe. You just know that you're onto something, right? And then as you grow in your faith, you kind of get to a new level. You get to a new level. So I kind of liken it to you go to church and you see somebody and you're like, I want to be that kind of Christian, right? Mm-hmm. So I told her, I feel like he's getting ready to level me up. And I don't know what that means, but I'm like, I'm really excited about what he has in store for me. Like to think that I could be leveled up to the point that he's using me for his will, right? Mm-hmm. The very next day, we found out that his work had, because he was in bridge construction and the nature of his health issues, qualified him for early retirement due to disability. So he wasn't getting like Social Security disability, but he was going to get to retire at a young age. And we just thought, oh my gosh, God is setting us up for this amazing future. Like you're 52, you get to retire. And he had a heck of a retirement built up, and we would have these little pretend conversations. Like he wanted so badly to buy some of the property behind us and dig out his own. He wanted to buy a bobcat and dig out his own fishing pond, you know, and he said, first thing I'm going to do is buy a bobcat. I said, the first thing you're going to do is pay off your divorce settlement. He says, the second thing I'm going to do is buy a bobcat. So we had a few days where we were really just, wow, you know, this is going to be an amazing life together. He'd always been on the road worker. So he was going to get to stay home, and, you know, I was going to get to be with the love of my life every single night. And then it was within that first week, he started telling everybody, you know, I just don't think I'm going to live very long. I think I'm going to be young when I die. And two nights before he passed away, he looked at me. I used to tell him that we were like Noah and Allie in The Notebook. And I said, we're just going to always be together. And we're going to die falling asleep in each other. Like, I couldn't imagine us not. We were so connected. Our hearts were so connected. I just couldn't imagine. Obviously, when he took his last breath, I was going to be laying in his arms and I was going to take mine too. Like, that's the way it was supposed to work out. Now, mind you, I did have moments of like, this was too good to be true because of my last relationship. So I always thought he'd wake up and be like, man, what was I thinking when I saw something in her and what, you know, tell me to hit the road. So I had these small moments of fear where I knew the relationship wasn't going to be long lasting, but I always really thought It was because he was going to realize I wasn't good enough for him. So a couple nights before he passed, he said, "Baby, I just don't think I'm going to last very long." And I've got a teacher's voice, and I never threw my teacher's voice at my husband. And I looked at him and I said, "Stop it." And he kind of gave me this strange look because I was never firm with him. And I said, "It's going to be hard enough having to go through something like that. Don't make me play pretend with it now." So we both just stopped talking, but it was one of those things where even though you're not saying words and it's totally silent, you're both having that conversation, you know? So about an hour later, I said, "Well, can I give your eulogy?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Am I supposed to get remarried?" And he thought for a second and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I would want you to be happy." And I said, "Well, that's proof that you love me more than I love you, because I can't think of you being with somebody else." Mm-hmm. So he just kind of laughed at me, but he was serious enough. He looked at me and he said, "Normally we'd fall asleep on the couch and then I'd get up and go move into the bedroom." And that night he said, "Baby, I think we need to go to bed together tonight." And he did. He came in there and he just held me. I remember his face on the side of my face, and I was just rubbing his beard, and we just let our hearts speak to each other. I knew he was just telling me he loved me. The next night was kind of the same. I woke up on Friday morning, September. We ended up getting married October 30th, 2021. And I woke up September 30th, and he was still asleep on the couch, but the way he was laying it, he didn't seem comfortable. So as I was getting ready for work, I woke him up. I said, "Come on into the bedroom." I said, "You're going to be more comfortable in here." I helped him get his clothes off, got him laid down in bed, gave him his morning medicine. And my husband always called me a bad mother. And that was like the greatest compliment in the world. And that morning he says, "Baby, you're a bad, you know what I'm trying to say." I said, "Yeah, I know what you're trying to say." And I told him not to worry about the kids, not to worry about the supper. I'm like, "You just rest." I could tell he was very tired. And I said, "I'll take care of everything when I get home." So I go to school and I do my day. And about 3:15, I'm back in my classroom from pickup duty. And I noticed that I had a couple missed calls. And about that time, I don't really remember if his dad called me or if I noticed I had a missed call from his dad also. But I remember being on the phone and his dad said, he lives right next door to us, and his dad said, "It's Shannon, it's not good." And I said, "Okay," I had been through this a few times. You know, the most recent time that he had been hospitalized was a few months earlier, and he was air evac'd to the hospital. So I had been through these moments. All right, come on. The cat's scratching at my feet trying to get up here. So I tried not to freak out. But I rushed out the door and I started on my way home. And there's this dirt road that connects the town that I work in to the main road of the town that I live in. And so I took this dirt road shortcut. And as I get to the stop sign, there's a white car. And I remember just thanking God that this white car was on that main road to get in front of me, because I knew I'd be driving crazy. And I get about 10 minutes or so halfway into my ride home. And then the most amazing thing happened. And I don't want people to think that I'm believing in ghosts or anything like that, but I do think God sends us messages in a way that, we have in a way to allow us to hear them. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden Shannon's presence is like filling my car, like so close. I could almost feel, I thought his arm was going to touch my arm. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, and I see his face just smiling at me. And at the same time, my dad, who had passed away in 2019, his face is like on my dash, mm-hmm. on the passenger side. And they're just smiling. And he looks at me and he says, baby, I'm gone. And I just start saying, no, no. Like, I'm going to try to argue, right, to somebody who's not sitting there. But I start yelling, no, 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 and crying. And him and my dad share this look and they grin at each other. And he looks back at me and he's like, yeah, baby, I'm gone. You're going to be fine. He says, you're going to be okay. So by the time I get home, I knew what had happened, even though I hadn't actually been told he had passed. And I'm really just broken. I jump out of my car, pull up, there's ambulance, there's firefighters, there's his sisters are here. Like, my yard is full of, so I actually parked in the neighbor, in front of the neighbor's house because I couldn't get into my driveway. And as I jump out of my car, I look at his friend who's on the fire department and I said, is he gone? Is he gone? And he just kind of looked at me and gave me a real short nod. And after that, it gets really, the time just kind of doesn't exist. I have, like, I remember clips of things. I remember falling to the ground and picking up dirt and thinking, what do I do now? I remember his dad hugging me. Shannon's youngest boy still used our address for his school. When his mom and dad divorced, she moved to a different district and he lived with her, but he came home every evening and then stayed every weekend with us. So nobody had contacted them yet. And we didn't want him finding out, but I remember his mom had got there pretty quick. And somebody said, Zane's here. And I said, where? And he just grabbed me. Zane is, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3". He's a very tall young man, but he was 15 when his dad passed away. Shannon had three boys. Two of them are grown adults with their own families. And then Zane was the youngest. I remember grabbing him and saying, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I remember trying to kiss his cheek, but he's so much taller. I kissed his neck instead, which is funny now, but at the time I didn't care. I just wanted to hug him. I just wanted to take care of him. You know, my heart broke for him. There's just a lot of clips. It's really funny how your brain kind of throws stuff out of the way. So we had decided, because my husband liked bonfires, I said, hey, get everyone together. You know, people were starting to show up. News was starting to spread. So we did a bonfire in our backyard and just kind of celebrated him and was together. And that's one thing Shannon's family was really good at. He's got a lot of nieces and nephews and just different people. And they just surrounded me that night. But I also had a cousin who had lost her husband about a year and a half before me. And she showed up the night, she lives about 2 hours away, and she showed up the night that he passed. And I was so thankful, because that first night, reality hadn't really set in. But when everybody left the bonfire and the house was quiet, it just kind of hit you, like, this is the first of the rest of my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was so amazing. And I know it's because she was widowed, and she was a young widow, 32 when she was widowed. She had been there and she had gone through this wilderness, and she came into the bedroom and laid on the bed with me and just wrapped her arms around me and just held me until I fell asleep. And it was, no words were spoken. She didn't have to ask if it was okay. She knew what I was going to need and she provided it. I managed to get through. So he passed away on a Friday. He actually passed away on September 30th. 2022, which was our 11-month wedding anniversary. And we were so excited because that Sunday, 2 days later, was the first Sunday of October. And on the first Sunday of the month at our church, they recognized birthdays and anniversaries. And we had just finished talking about how we were going to get to stand up and say how we were celebrating our 1 year this month, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead, when I went to church, I insisted on still going. I was not strong enough, but it was important to us. And so I went to church that Sunday and stood up, and I couldn't hardly choke out the words. I broke down crying when they came to me, but I knew I had to do it because I wasn't just doing it for me. I was doing it because it was important to my husband too. We were just, the connection we had, like I said earlier that we joked, like I joked with him about being Noah and Allie from The Notebook, right? And it wasn't really a joke. My brain was kind of split in that we had such a connection. I really believed we were going to die together someday. Like I truly thought that's how we were going to go. Our whole lives were leading up to us being together and we weren't ever going to have to be separated. But, excuse me. The other part of me is our relationship was so good that I'd look at him and I'd say, baby, you are the greatest gift I've ever had. Like, I just had a feeling. I had a feeling it was going to end early and not be the rest of my life. But honestly, because of what the relationship I was coming off of, what I really thought was he was going to see that, you know, I was this big fraud. I wasn't as wonderful as he thought he was. He was going to have regrets for marrying me and he was going to say, hit the road. I never, never, never thought I'd be living this life. But the next probably 6 months were, I tried to go back to work 2 weeks after he passed. I was not ready. I was crying every day. I was working at an elementary school then. Randomly throughout the day, I would just burst into tears, or I'd walk into the school building, like trying to pep myself up. It just wasn't good. So Christmas break rolled around, and right after Christmas break, I went to the administration and I said, I need to take a leave of absence because I'm not making it through. Like I can't fake it till I make it. I'm trying, but it's not working. And I spent the next few months pretty much just on my couch. So after about 2 months, beginning of February, my dad's mom, my grandmother on my dad's side, passed away. And she had watched all six of her children. She outlived all six of her children. And she had asked me, you know, she had gone through each of her kids. As one would pass away, she'd ask the next one to be her healthcare, like not power of attorney, but same lines, right? Her goal was she didn't want to be resuscitated and she wanted to make sure that person would say, these are her wishes, carry them out.
Yeah.
So shortly after my uncle had passed away, her last surviving kid had passed, she had asked me and another cousin if we would do this and be her representative, and we did. So she ended up having a stroke and went into the hospital, and that kind of forced me out of, that put me in to-do mode. You know, I was always the family caretaker. And it gave me something outside of myself to be concerned about. One of the biggest blessings that's come out of that is, and she won't mind me sharing this part of her story, I was so depressed, not eating, not taking care of myself. My boys, I call them my boys. I have a biological son. And then Shannon's youngest, who's about a year and a half older than mine. They were old enough. They could cook. They could take care of their own needs. I didn't have to. I had nothing outside of me that drove me to get up every day. So when my grandmother passed away, she has, I don't know, 25 first grandchildren, not greats, just grandchildren, right? Wow. So a lot of us that had grown up together reconnected, and we were all gathered around her. And one of those cousins had struggled with substance abuse and ended up in prison for a while and had just gotten out and was living at home with her parents, maybe an hour and a half away, and she needed a ride to the funeral. So I said, well, why don't you come and stay with me? I'll come pick you up. You can stay with me till the funeral's over. And I said, you want to stay with me for a couple weeks? I felt like I really needed an adult presence. And she really wanted to get out of her parents' house. So at the end of that 2 weeks, I was thinking, you know, it's getting ready for me to have to take her back. And I really wasn't wanting her to leave. It was comforting to have someone to talk to when I was feeling sad. And lo and behold, God works in mysterious ways. She got a phone call one day. Her parents had packed up her bedroom and said, come get it whenever you're ready. So I found out I had a roommate.
Oh, wow.
So it has worked out well for both of us. It helped me heal and it helped me have kind of that, just that adult voice. You know, Shannon and I told each other everything. So anytime I didn't have him to be like, baby, grandma died. You know, he was there when I had to break the news that my uncle, her last surviving kid, had passed away, and I had to break that news to her, and he was with me. So I did. It was just nice having another adult that could share in some of this stuff, you know.
Sure.
And for her, just a squirrel chase for a moment, she's been with me since the beginning of February of last year, and she's now, next month she'll be 2 years sober. She's got a job. She's doing great on her probation. Like, she's really turning her life around. And so this was a double blessing that I got that I didn't realize then. You know, I realized it was nice having an adult, but to see how God has worked in both our lives has been really, really good. Then in June, well, I went back to work in April just to finish out the year. And the only reason I really did that is I had given my resignation. There was some, that school district was no longer a good place for me to be. And it hadn't been for a long time. And when some stuff started happening after my husband's death, I just said, I don't have the mental capacity to deal with this kind of stress anymore. So I had given my resignation and, but I wanted to go back on a good note. I wanted to go back saying, I did try. I did give it my best. It wasn't just this negative thing that happened and I disappeared, right? So I went back and finished out this school year. Summer started. And one thing to note is when my husband passed away, I lost 2/3 of our income. So I was living on $1,400 a month. And when my dad had passed away, I took over my mom's mortgage so that she didn't have to move out of her house. And I was also finishing up paying Shannon's ex for their divorce settlements. So, so that she didn't have to worry about that. So I had very little money. So another blessing that I didn't realize for a long time was I had some people that were coming in while I was off work, not able to get off the couch, bringing me hundreds of dollars of food and, you know, groceries and toilet paper and necessities and things that they knew I did not have the means to provide for myself. It was taking every single dime I had to meet pay my utilities. And I did not have the heart to go to my mom and say, I can't pay your house payment and make things harder on her because they were hard on me. Like, I was just always like, God's going to take care of you somehow, some way. So I just couldn't put that stress on her. And I was scared to go to his ex-wife, just because the idea of leaving the home that, Leo is insisting I need to be closer to him. And he's adjusting my phone. So I was scared that his ex would be really resentful if I were to ask her that question. And I am so low key and non-confrontational. Like, I was just willing to deal with being completely broke for as long as I needed to be. And God provided. We had one of his friends would randomly stop in, one of Shannon's friends randomly stop in and be like, "Hey, I just got a new half beef in. I cleaned out my freezer. I thought you could use these steaks. You know, here I can't put $20 of gas in my car, but he's given me steaks," right?
Yeah.
Another friend, they took up collections at work to make sure that I had, you know, just staples in the house and things to be able to take care of my boys and laundry soap. And she was also not only taking up collections, but while these months were dragging on, she was taking hundreds of dollars out of her own pocket to make sure I had what I needed every month. So he was completely taking care of us the whole time.
Then, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. So then in June of this past year, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 endometrial cancer. And that kind of jumped me out. I live around the corner from her. My youngest brother is not, my family's kind of pulled apart. He's suggesting this so much. My family is kind of fractured right now. And my oldest brother and I and another relative are doing what we can to make sure she's taken care of. And that includes staying with her on weekends when she has her chemo treatments and when she's feeling weak. Tonight I have to go get a mouse out of her tub drain. So life has a way of working out, and it's not life. God has a way of taking care of you. When I put in my resignation, I truly thought I was done being a teacher. I truly thought I was out of the field. And through lots of encouragement from the greatest friend I've ever had, she said, "You need to apply at this district." I just applied and got hired. It was the only school district I applied to because I had zero interest in working as a teacher. I was done. I was burnt out. And that's, you know, God was calling me to do something, but I knew it wasn't in education. And I ended up getting the job, got an interview, got the job. It has been amazing for, I'm in a high school. My son started as a freshman this year. He's in high school this year. I get to take him to school with me. So while my son's going through high school, I get to teach high school students. I've watched my son's self-confidence and self-worth just skyrocket. It's a bigger school than what we come from. There's more diversity, and he has his people there. He's found his people. And they have been nothing but supportive of me. And even as late as November, I had to leave work, a professional development day. We do a team building activities. And the team building question was, if you could live in another time period, or if you could live in another time, when would it be? And my brain immediately went back to 2019 when I met my husband. Those whole 3 years, that's where I would stay, you know? And I just burst into tears. I was trying to be brave, but I ended up leaving work because it got me. You know, it just took me over. That was the last big moment of grief that I've had. And what's really amazing about that is here we are, beginning of February, and this is the first, with the exception of the 3 years I was with Shannon, you know, from dating him to losing him, with the exception of that time, I've always suffered from like wintertime depression, really strong depression, very unmotivated, do a lot of couch surfing, get real negative in my head. But this Christmas, I have to back up for a little bit. One of the things that Shannon and I did was he was kind of estranged from his middle son. Not through anything real negative, just from their own misperceptions of each other. And when we got married, I, on the down low, reached out and got his middle son's phone number and said, hey, we'd like to take a trip, but we were wondering, can we come out and see you on our honeymoon, right? He lived in Colorado. And he agreed to it. So I told my husband, and it was the first time in like 5 or 6 years that he had sat down with his middle son and had a great visit, a great dinner. And we got them. I said, hey, why don't you guys come over? You come home at Christmas time. Why don't you guys work us in and come over for a quick Christmas? So that Christmas, which ended up being Shannon's last Christmas with us, Christmas 2021, was the first time in 9 years Shannon had all three of his boys at home at Christmas. And he also had three grandchildren. So he had his grandchildren, he had his boys, and it was just wonderful. So just before Shannon passed away, he said to me, baby, I know what you did for me. And I looked at him like he had three heads. I said, what do you mean? He's like, you gave up your honeymoon so I could see my boy. And I'm like, I didn't give up anything. Like, do you know how amazing it was for me to get to see you do that? Like, to see that all of this stuff was just in their heads, and that they were father and son and they do love each other. And like, I was just flabbergasted that he thought I gave up something. No, I got everything. Are you kidding? So one of the other blessings is his boys, even his oldest adult boys, who I didn't have enough time to build a relationship with them when he was living, because they were grown and had families of their own, you know, and out of the house. But in his death, they have just, they're my boys. So I went from, you know, I'm biologically the mother of one, but I have four boys. And they're just, they came over this past Christmas, and I know this was, I don't think they're ever going to realize how impactful that night was when they came over for Christmas. We had all of the boys, all of the in-laws, all of the grandkids. We had children laughing and people playing. It was like a Hallmark movie of people on the piano and playing songs, and kids are playing games, and somebody's riding a bike in the living room. And when they got ready to leave and I was giving them all a hug, I said, this was so much fun. And his middle boy looked at me and he says, every year we're going to do this with you. Aww. And it's just like, yeah, every year, because they are my connection to Shannon. And it has been my goal. I know what Shannon wanted done. And in the event of his death, we had talked about what he wanted done. And his number one, after God, his number one love in his life were his children. And I'm going to do forever anything I have to do to honor that. Shannon included my son as one of his kids. And 6 months into dating, he said, baby, I'm not trying to replace his father. I don't want to be his dad. He said, but I do want to show him everything his dad won't. And I just knew, like, he was, Shannon, I don't know, how do I say this? Shannon had worked long enough with the same company that he had a decent retirement. I did find out 11 days after he passed away and had the funeral all done and over that there wasn't any life insurance, that had got canceled and we weren't aware of it. So in June of this past year, I, received his retirement. Well, because Shannon and I had known, and it wasn't just what he told me he wanted, I made him write down what his wishes were, because he had gotten sick, because I was so new into the family and being married, because I was looking at his death being a possibility, but hopefully hopefully it wasn't going to happen, but there's a potential there when you find out your heart's functioning at 15%. I wanted to make sure all the way back then that whatever happened, his boys didn't have to worry about the kind of person I was and how I was going to leave his dad's message. So as the night that Shannon passed away, I gave the boys, I showed them the little notebook paper that he had wrote his wishes on and how much money the kids were supposed to get and what I was supposed to do with it. And I had them all take pictures of it so that they knew, yes, they would know his handwriting, you know. And it's just amazing that God took me from a place where I couldn't afford to buy bread to being able to give thousands of dollars to his kids, set up a trust for his youngest, take the kids on vacation. Michelle did mention, you know, helping others earlier, but it's just, I've always had a servant's heart, and it has been an absolute joy. And I'm kind of in awe of, holy cow, I can't believe I've been poor my whole life. I know how to live broke and poor, right? So, but you're using me in a way to help others that I have never in my life been able to help before. I could help with my time. I could help with listing. And that stuff's very, very important. But to be able to come across a widow who didn't know, her husband passed away unexpectedly of a heart attack, and they had no life savings. They had no life insurance. They had no way of being able to bear. And the hospital said, you have 3 days to figure out what you're going to do with his body before we dispose of it. There was no way I couldn't help that person out. She needed to be able to have that closure for her husband. And right, wrong, or indifferent, I absolutely didn't even bat an eye. Yes, do what, you know, here's the money. Honor your husband and do what you need to do. I will always be like that. If I see somebody in need, it's just the kind of person I am. But the fact that he's using me in this kind of way is just, I am dumbfounded. I've never had two dimes to, and I'm not rich by any means. I don't want to give that impression, but I don't have to live worried about how I'm going to put food on the table anymore. I don't have to worry about paying the phone bill and skipping the electric bill. You know, like, I get to take care of my needs and not hesitate if somebody else is in need.
That's amazing. And you know, it's not about, you know, being rich or poor or anything like that, but money very much amplifies who you already are. I believe. Good. And so, you know, when you're a very generous person and kind-hearted, that will be amplified greatly when you're put in a position of being able to do that. So I think that's awesome.
Thank you. I did tell, and please, I'm not saying this to like give myself a pat on the back. I'm completely just in awe. And I did, I was joking to somebody about how simple I am. And I'm not somebody that needs to, you know, go shopping. Like, I wasn't worried about me being that kind of person that was going to waste the money away.
Yeah.
But what I found out was very much, I'm a giveaholic. I'm not a shopaholic. I am a giveaholic. So I have had to become like very aware of, is this somebody's need? Is this a want? And I also have to be aware of, is giving this money truly to help them, or is it to make me feel good? So I've really had to do some soul searching about the purpose, because the purpose, I want to always make sure that the purpose for me helping somebody in any fashion is to help them, not to make me feel good about myself and give myself a pat on the back, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
I wanted to say like a lot of things about what you've been talking about, but like I had a front row seat to this journey you're talking about. Like when I met you was when you were still not able to get out of bed very well.
Yes.
And just to see the transformation, you know, and you didn't have a lot of money, but we were able to give you a scholarship. And then what I right. love is that you gave back to Widow Goals, to the ministry, so other widows could be blessed. And I really appreciated that so much. And just to see, like, yeah, see you helping that other widow and just all the things that I know that you're doing now, and to see your joy, which I knew from the moment I met you, there was joy inside of there. We just had to get her back. Like, she had been right. buried under all of this, like, you know, the yes. weight of grief. And so
I truly, truly believed that that person was dead and gone and was buried with Shannon. I did not think that that joyful, happy person that I had always been, I always was somebody that could wear a smile on my face. I thought she was gone. I didn't think she was coming back. But yeah. honestly, it's been fresh because it was this over Christmas break. And as the winter has wore on, I've been waiting for that depression. I've been waiting for the grief. I've been waiting for that heavy hand, and it hasn't come. And every day I've got the smile, and every day I'm getting up and going to work, and nothing. I'm not going to say that last part. I believe in jinxes, so I'm not going to jinx myself.
Fingers crossed.
Things are going good. I still believe, though. I absolutely believe, though, that he's still, you know, when I talked about he was going to level me up, right?
Yeah.
I knew that he had something big planned for me.
Yeah.
And from the moment Shannon passed, that very first night, I was hearing him say, be still, just be still and wait. Be still and know I'm God. I knew he was telling me to just don't panic, just wait. So that really gave me the permission to feel that deep grief.
Yeah.
Leo, bud, you're really killing me here. So that helped me, but that has not left me. Like, for a while now, I've had this idea of where I think he's leading me, and I've just not been super, super sure. I'm so sorry, guys.
That's okay.
It's just,
for those of you that can't see, the dog keeps knocking the camera.
Yeah. So I still don't know, but what I do know 100% is whatever the rest of my life is going to look like, it's going to be wonderful. Whether I am with somebody, whether I'm alone, he has made me a person who has been in a 20-year marriage with a man that should never have been. Mm-hmm. He's brought me to a place where I'm completely content. I wish for nothing right now.
That's awesome. Well, so I just want to jump in a little bit if I can.
Sure.
So first of all, no, you're great. That's awesome. The power of what God can do is just so apparent in your story.
Yeah.
And I love your perspective and your outlook. You have a really positive attitude, and that really is a very powerful thing to have in life. I wanted to offer you a way to look at things instead of jinxes, that we do go through seasons of life, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you should celebrate that you're in a good season right now. And that's awesome. And I think you, of all people, really know what it's like to be in these, obviously the dark season of the grief, but something that we didn't even really get into too much was your first marriage, your previous marriage, that being free from that and actually knowing what a really bad marriage looks like will give you so much yes. gratitude and appreciation that you're not in that terrible, abusive, nasty relationship. That's just such a,
right.
A horrible thing. I've had experiences similar, nothing like that, but I just mean similar in the sense that I had something to compare to. I had a lot of terrible things happen that I have a deep appreciation that those things aren't happening to me anymore. And so it does give you this really great outlook on life if you allow God to like penetrate your heart in that way to see the beauty that is in the world, even when things, like you said, when you're down on your finances or whatever it might be. Now, of course, we all go through grief. That's why we're all here. That's normal. But still, you've found your way out the other side, and it's just very commendable. And I just think you have a great attitude, and just keep going. And it's not a jinx, you might, but you know, we all might come into bad seasons. And that's why it's so important to celebrate when we're in a good season, when our heart's in a good place, and praise God that you Absolutely. Didn't have a cold and dark winter. That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for sharing all that. That's
what
great.
Would you say? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, you didn't.
Okay. What would you say has been the biggest things that have helped you get from like where I met you to where you are today?
So, well, I really think your program helped me. Your grief recovery program helped me a ton. I think realizing, so at the very beginning, I felt like I was supposed to act or behave a certain way. Like there were certain expectations. Yeah. Spouses die, right? Like put on your big girl pants, move on. The world keeps going. And when I realized that I couldn't and allowed myself to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what people think. I'm doing my best right now. My best right now was sleeping on my couch because I couldn't get myself into my bedroom. My best, you know, that turned into when I wasn't sleeping really good, I was turning to other avenues to try to get a little bit of sleep, drinking every night, whatever. And that has turned into now nothing. Like I don't even need melatonin. I could fall asleep right now talking to you. Like I can, you know, like it's all a process. So I would say that those realizations that what people think, what you think people think really doesn't matter. Like this is yeah. your journey. We're not in competition with each other and nobody's writing a script, you know? So it's truly every single one. Yes. We all have the common factor in we've lost our spouses, but everything outside of that is yours.
Yep.
We might all share some common. Yes. It was hard for me to grocery shop. I remember breaking down at the milk aisle because I was going to grab chocolate milk and my husband loved chocolate milk. And I opened the door and realized he was the only person that drank it. And it completely shattered me. Those kind of things, those common everyday things, we might share. A lot of us might share. But the real nuts and bolts of going through your grief and figuring out what it means to lose your spouse is completely your story. Nobody else was married to that person. You were. And nobody else knows your brain like you do and knows your capabilities like you do. And give yourself that permission to say what your limit is and be okay with it. Like let go of the what ifs of or unspoken expectations or fears. Like let go of that and let God.
That's awesome.
Let
great.
God.
Yeah. And also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I told you, Mark, tied down the middle, loose at both ends.
no, that's
I know early on, I literally like, again, I don't believe in ghosts, but I was not able to get myself. I was just bawling, laying on the couch, just so broken. And I'm telling you, Jesus was right there. He was kneeling on my living room floor. And he just wrapped me in his arms. And even though my physical eyes didn't see him, right? My heart did. I could tell you what he looked like. I could tell you what he was wearing. And I could tell you that he hugged me until I fell asleep and slept through the night. Like, truly, truly let God. He's going to take care of you. Jesus loves us so much. And he is absolutely let go of everything that you think you're supposed to do and just let God take care of it for you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I was just going to add from earlier what you were talking about that it's also expectations go the other way too. People expect a lot of things of us, right? But also there's this feeling that we put upon ourselves that people expect us to be grieving all the time. Like that we always must be sad. And so you could be having a good day I remember it was about a year and a half, maybe a year after Lacey died, and somebody I hadn't seen at church since Lacey passed, and we were having a great day, my kids and I, and this lady comes up to me and she's like, "Oh, hey, I'm praying for you all the time. How are you guys doing?" And I was like, "We're good. We're having a good day, you know." And so there's also this expectation on the flip side that like you're also supposed to always be depressed and sad. And I
Right.
agree with you to not let that affect you either, and to just be how you want to be that day. And if you're
Right.
sad, if you're happy or whatever, and yeah, that's awesome.
Good. Well, I really appreciate you coming here today and sharing your story. I know that you're going to inspire a lot of people. So we really, really appreciate you. Before we wrap it up, is there anything else you wanted to share? I don't want to cut you off if there was something else you wanted to share.
The only thing I'm going to say is, and this is kind of funny, but I know you guys always ask, what do you think about dating?
Yeah. So what do you
And
think about dating?
I'm just going to say, make sure you're ready. I'm just going to say, just let God handle everything.
There you
Just let
go.
God handle everything.
That's
Other,
good.
you'll save yourself some shame, embarrassment, and extra baths if you just let God take care of
That's
everything.
good.
You will
That's good
feel,
advice.
yeah, you'll it's just let God take care of it.
I think that's great
Yes.
advice because
Yep.
I learned from experience when I think I can control things, that's when I mess things up or
Yes.
whatever, you
Yep.
know.
Yes. Yep.
So yeah, that's great.
Totally. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Well, Mark, would you like to wrap us up in prayer?
Sure. Yes.
All
Thanks
right.
for being here, Cheryl. Lord, I'd just like to just thank you so much for this time that we got to spend with Cheryl and getting to know her and hear her story. Thank you so much for the work that you've done in her heart and the testimony that you've given her to responsibly share it with the world. And we just are so grateful and honored that, you know, that we could have a platform to do this. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue keeping your hands on Cheryl and taking care of her and all the children. And I just thank you for this wonderful story. And you are the God of that can just do these amazing things and make beauty from ashes. And we thank you for that, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you
Amen.
like this podcast, give it a little bing, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. If you have an extra moment and you want to review it, that helps us. New thing, and Cheryl, I just heard yours today. It will be played soon. We have this place called SpeakPipe where you can record a message. I think we have 5 or 6 ready to go on the episodes. We'd love to hear from you if Widow, what's this podcast called? Widow Too Soon. Well, I had like widow goals in my head, all the things. If it has impacted your life in any way and you want to share that, we'd love to play your little voice clip on an upcoming episode. And like we talked about in the beginning, if you want to join our new private community, we'd love to have you there. Links down below. If you want to be a guest, below, blah, blah, blah. All the links are down there. So thanks for
Do
being with
it.
us. And we'll see you next time.
God
Bye.
bless.